What's up, everybody? You are tuning in to another episode of Tall and Short of It podcast, where marriage and sports aren't all that different. My name is Erica, and I am one half of the podcast, and the other half is my lovely husband, Sean.
Hello. What's going on, people?
So we are here on a Thursday night, kind of a day behind, but that's okay. And so we are here to talk sports with you guys, and actually we have the Giants and Bears on mute. So if Eli throws another interception, you will actually hear it in our voice when it happens. So what we'll do is just go ahead and get into it. Again, this is the Tall and Short of It podcast. How you can find us, tallandshortofitpodcast.com. You can search for us on Stitcher, Podomatic, and iTunes. Please feel free to leave us any feedback, good, bad, indifferent. You agree, you disagree. We just want to be able to hear it. So please check us out at our website, or you can go to iTunes and leave us a review there as well. So let's get into it. And so what we'll do is start with the week that was. And being that I am the wife, I do like to take certain liberties. And I will start off with the Colts. And they had a very big win this week. They played the Seahawks. And we shocked the world. That's what I was hoping for. And that's what happened. We shocked the world.
Well, is it really that big of a win considering that you were at home? Seattle is a much different team on the road than they are at home. So was the win that big of a deal?
Yeah, it was that big of a deal. It's the freaking Seahawks. So, yeah, I will say it's a big deal. We started out slow. But our defense did well. We did some good things on defense. I was very proud of that. Andrew Luck is just progressing. I mean, he's hot. He's what we thought he would be. And so I think that it was a big win. We started out slow. We stumbled a little bit, but we, by the end of the half, we were rolling, and we were cooking. We were cooking, like, you know, some instant rice we were cooking.
Okay, that was lame. I'll say this. Watching the game, well, clicking back and forth, because it wasn't my primary game I was watching, the Colts made plays. I will say that. Got turnovers when they needed it. Got stops when they needed it. And they did a fair job in stopping the run. Which is what you got to do to win big games. So,
I think we did an excellent job because the only listen, like I said, we started out slow, but Russell Wilson, he was getting chunks of yards, but he wasn't scoring touchdowns rushing. And I think that's something that when it's the read option, you're gonna have to give up something. You can't stop everything in the read. That's the point of the read option. And I think that we do have the ability to manage the read option very well. We handled it against the 49ers and Kaepernick, and we managed it with Russell Wilson and the Seahawks. So, you know, you can downplay the Colts victory if you like, sir, but we are good. We are very good. And so I would like to say, you know, Robert Mathis, he reached 100 sacks, which was pretty good, which is great. You know, Trent Richardson started to emerge finally, which he has no choice but to do that from this point on since Bradshaw is out for the year with this neck injury. So,
well, I mean, you know, the Colts are a very good team.
You can say that a little louder. Say it again.
The Colts are a good team. They're a good team. Can't lay an egg Monday night. Got to travel to the West Coast, playing a roller coaster Chargers team. But the Chargers are at home, prime time, Monday night. Phillip Rivers, hey, this should be another 400-yard game.
Yeah.
So We'll see if that Colts pass rush can get to Phillip Rivers, and can they cover on the back end. So it should be a very entertaining game. But if you're a good team, these are the road games that you win.
I agree. So we'll see. This is a good another litmus test for us. So let's move on to the other team of the household, which is the Cowboys. And, you know, actually, I'll just let you go ahead and start with this, babe, since the Cowboys are your team. You go ahead and handle that.
Well, I know everyone saw the game. It was the game of the week. Everybody watches the Cowboys. It was your second game on Sunday. If you like offense, that was the game for you. 51-48, 99-point score. Peyton Manning and Tony Romo put on a show of offensive brilliance. Cowboys came up a bit short. And I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan. And I didn't blame Romo for the loss. I don't really think you can beat anybody if your team gives up 51 points. Did they have a chance to win? Absolutely. But were they in the game because of Tony Romo? Yes. 506 yards passing, 5 touchdowns. Offensively, they played well. But this is what I'll say. This year, I believe Tony Romo makes $16.9 million, $17 million, somewhere around in there. He's paid top 5 quarterbacks in the league. You can't make that throw. Especially when there was a check down to DeMarco Murray. But I do get where he was coming from. Like, man, we got to get these yards now. So I get that. But one poor decision.
Does not make a season make.
Does not a bad game played. I thought it was a very good game by Romo. But I do think it's a gut check Sunday for the Cowboys coming up. You got the NBC game, the 8 o'clock game. You got the Deadskins coming to town.
Oh, my gosh. Listen.
But hold on. You go on about the Colts. But this is the thing. This is what the Cowboys must fix, okay? We need more balance on offense. And when I say that, I'm not even talking about yards, but the threat of the run with attempts. Bill Parcells said it best. You know, you got to have 2 bullets in the fight. You got to do that. But as well, I would like to see the offense throw the ball down the field more. They did that this week. And despite what the world thinks, the Broncos were exposed. Now, I know that there's no Von Miller. I know that there's no Champ Bailey. Those players will be coming back. But that back end of that defense need some work. Now, they were able to sack Tony Romo, I want to say 3 times, but geez, 506 yards? 506 yards through the air. So, there was an interesting article on ESPN talking about the power rankings and like, will the Broncos go the entire season being number one? The answer is no. They're going to lose a game or two. Because that secondary got exposed. And this is who you got exposed by. You got exposed by a beast in Dez Bryant, who scored 2 touchdowns. You got exposed by a 11, 13-year veteran in Witten, and a rookie wide receiver. Miles Austin's didn't even play. So the Broncos have issues. The Cowboys, I think, will be okay. I think we're gonna have.
Oh, so the Broncos got more issues than the Cowboys?
That defense?
Well, how many points did the Cowboys defense give up?
Hey, I know we got issues. I know we have issues, and we had injuries in the secondary. You know, it is what it is.
Well, the Broncos do too.
It is what it is. Hey, we got guys that were flipping burgers last week playing. So, you know, but once we get healthy, we'll be all right. Grease. Yeah, you know. But we'll be all right, though. We'll be all right. Like I said, the Deadskins come to town.
Well, let me ask you this. We're gonna beat them. I know we were talking about like power rankings, and I know you and I had this discussion earlier in the week. You know, do you want Romo as your quarterback? And I know that, you know, you are a big Cowboys fan, so, you know, your answer is more than likely yes. And I am speaking of, we kind of like, you know, of the other 31 teams. Do you want Romo as your quarterback? And I was saying, me personally, as a Colts fan, no, I don't, because of what we have. But I would say outside of the Colts, it's about four or five other teams that say no. And then the rest of the league, yes. And I think that Romo is that quarterback that, I mean, he's good.
Let me throw something at you. Regular season, over the past three seasons, highest QBR in the league, Tony Romo.
Please don't say QBR.
Well, you know, it's what we have to go by, and it's very accurate. Also, this year, only two turnovers through five games, 13 touchdowns. I'll take that ratio, by the way. Second highest completion percentage in the league at over 72%. I'll take that. Historically, he's been good. Now, does he have his flaws? Yes. But it's like I told you, give me five teams that you would take their quarterback over Tony Romo. Give me five.
Okay. I would say the Colts, first of all.
See, I would disagree. I would disagree. Freaking who led the league in picks last year?
Who went to the playoffs and who didn't last year?
We talking about quarterback play. We're not talking about the team. There's other factors in there. We talking about quarterback play. We're talking about quarterback.
He was a rookie.
No, it don't matter.
Yes, it does. It does. I think it matters.
But,
and I would say the Colts.
You yet to answer the question.
I would say the
who
Patriots.
Who led the league in picks last year?
Andrew Luck. That's fine. We made the playoffs with Andrew Luck. I'm willing to ride that.
Played last play schedule, too. Well, go ahead.
That's fine. We made the playoffs. Okay. Yeah, Tony Romo has yet to do that.
Let's take the Colts out of it because we'll agree to disagree on that.
Okay.
All right.
The Patriots, they not giving that up.
I agree.
The Steelers not giving up Ben Roethlisberger.
Woo!
I'm just saying, they not.
Woo!
That may be a tough call, but they not.
Woo!
I'm just saying, they not.
Mike, you know Mike Tomlin took away all fun stuff from the Steelers. No pool, no video games in the facility. It's just straight football.
Okay.
Okay. All right, yeah, next.
The Broncos.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I don't think the 49ers or the Seahawks would give up what they got.
Okay. I would say the 49ers need to damn sure think about it. Have you seen Kaepernick play this year? And you looked at his numbers? They are winning in spite of him. They are not winning because of him.
I'll take back the 49ers. Okay. How about I'll say the Seahawks. They not giving him up.
And I would just say
he didn't lose that game.
I would say I would take Romo. Romo's a better quarterback than Russell Wilson. He's a better quarterback than Kaepernick. Strictly from an experience standpoint.
I get it, but I'm telling you.
Well, okay. Aaron Rodgers, they're good, and Drew Brees. Outside of that, that's it.
That's like 17.
No, okay, we said the Saints, the Packers, the Broncos, and the Patriots. You're saying the Steelers? I'm like, I don't know.
But, okay, so I...
That's round about it.
Okay.
That's five.
And they all got...
That's round about it. Anybody else? The GM...
That's what
okay,
I said.
We'll
though.
Take Romo.
That's what I was saying.
We'll take Romo.
Yeah.
So
I agree. We agree.
You know, I mean,
we agree.
Talking right. about my quarterback.
Oh my gosh. All right. So speaking of quarterback play, another big deal in the NFL was Matt Schaub is currently having a rough go at it as the Houston's quarterback. And he keeps throwing pick six. At this point, he's thrown more touchdowns to defensive players than his own teammates. And so, was that Tuesday night?
Yeah, it was a little incident.
Yeah, some idiots, freaking idiots, go up to his house to tell him what's what, as if he doesn't know. When he throws those interceptions, he's right there. Chances are that fan was either in the stands or at home. He's right there on the field when it happens. I think he knows what's going on.
Well, this is my thing. That fan didn't show up at J.J. White house and be like, hey, why can't y'all stop him? You know, he went to Matt Schaub's house. Matt Schaub is not an intimidating-looking guy. That's all that was. He didn't go to anybody on the defense's house.
Listen, Matt Schaub may not be an intimidating-looking guy, but if he had a gun and shot him, he would be very intimidating at that point. And nobody would say that he is wrong if that would have went down. I wouldn't say he was wrong because you just don't do shit like that.
And, you know, he's got kids and now he's got a wife, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, as a husband and father, you know, my job is to protect my wife and my kids. So Matt Schaub took the high road. You know, he did the right thing. And I applaud him for that because there are several players in the league that would have done the wrong thing. But that's neither here nor there, though.
There is a list that create on who you not rolling up on in the NFL.
Well, like I said, if he didn't go to J.J. White house. That's all I'm saying.
No.
J.J. Watt's a beast, man. That guy. But these are the facts. Matt Schaub lost the Seattle game. Lost it. Period. Played horrible last week.
It was bad, like real bad.
And Houston has all these parts, and they're just bad.
I feel like it's getting to the point that Arian Foster is getting to that Maurice Jones-Drew place where it's like, I can't thrive. I know that they had a good season last year, but it's just such a jump.
Let's slow down on that, okay?
I think it's such a jump, such a fall from they won their division last year.
Okay, they won their division. It's okay, first of all, we're five games in. I don't believe the Colts are going to run away and hide. I really don't.
We won't talk about that because we want to have a nice evening.
But what I'm saying is, it's not. It hasn't gone away. It hasn't gone away.
No, I don't think the season is gone. I don't think so either.
And really and truly, and people are you know down about it, but he just needs to manage the game. They play the Rams this week. That's a very winnable game. They are 3-3. We've already discussed the Colts have a difficult game. You know, 3-3, you are one game behind them. If they lose and they're 4-2, you're right in it. So the season has not gone away. So Texan fans, you know, step away from the cliff. It's okay. You know, it'll be all right. But Matt Schaub has to play better. You cannot turn over the football. And more importantly, you cannot turn the ball over early in games
and late
get out
in
of
games.
It and late in games. You
Tony Romo know that all too
you
well.
You cannot do that. Andrew Luck does too.
No, actually, so, Andrew Luck has more game-winning drives than Tony Romo does.
He's going to need one Monday. He's going to need one Monday. You know. But that's the thing. I'm not a Texans fan. I personally don't believe Matt Schaub was worth all that money anyway, considering he was a backup and he got his money based on a couple of games in backup duty. But he just has to play better. And I do feel like Kubiak, you've got weapons. Use them.
He's on the clock.
Now, granted, their tight end went down. He's going to be out 4 weeks. You know my fantasy team.
Owen Daniel.
So, that is an issue, but hey, it's got to be next guy up. You got a great receiver coming out of the backfield in Arian Foster. You got arguably the best receiver in the league, some would say, when healthy.
Yeah.
When healthy.
But so, and that's the thing. I mean,
they've got weapons. You got to use them, but Matt Schaub, throw it away. Punt. There's nothing wrong with punting the football. You got a good defense. So, I mean, and not to harp on it, but, yeah, he's just got to play better. It's just that simple. If he plays better, they'll win. They'll win.
Yeah, Andre Johnson doesn't have a touchdown yet.
I know. He's on my fantasy team.
He's on one of mine as well. And Arian Foster only has one. So, Houston fans and fantasy football owners alike are like, they need to get on it. They need to fix this ship. There's a lot that...
Andre Johnson been in the league 11 years?
Jeez. Time flies, you're getting old, babe. Yeah. So, another topic that I wanted to talk about was Jadeveon Clowney and him not playing Saturday, and then the comments by Steve Spurrier, and then later on in the week, he kind of backpedaled off of those comments where he insinuated that he was just hurt and he just didn't want to play. And so, I'll say this. Spurrier backpedaled. Paul Feinbaum, he kind of doubled down on it and called him a joke. Because he's not basically like leaving it all on the field for the team. So, you know, I have issues with him saying that. Basically, they're saying, oh, it's not okay to say that you're hurt, and not okay for you to make the own call about your health, where everybody is supposed to be stressing player safety, but for Feinbaum to, you know, call him a joke and these things, I just find it kind of weird.
Well, Feinbaum is controversial. That's what's made him great. But there's a lot of truth to that, too. And this is what I'll say. For the head coach not to know that you're playing, there's a breakdown in communication with that. That is an issue. I think when Steve Spurrier made his first comments, it was right after the game. There was a charge, and they just hung on defensively to win that game. So I think he was upset. And his comments, if you read them, they could be – well, I think they were taken out of context a bit.
No.
But what he said when he came back was true. Hey, these last 2 years we've had Clowney on the field – have been the best 2 years in this school's history. I do think he was talking to future recruits as well as Clowney, but this is what I'll say. This is what I'll say. And Jadeveon Clowney, through no fault of his own, he is in a tough position. Everybody in the world is saying, you're going to be the number one pick. You're going to be the number one pick. You take this insurance policy out, and you got to play a junior year. And it's a long year. It's a year to where you're constantly double teamed. Guys are going to be trying to cut you. Guys are going to be trying to cheap shot you. And anybody knows this who's ever played football. When you don't go 100%, you will get hurt. You will get hurt. That is a fact. So, and I've watched a few games of South Carolina. And it's right there inside the TV. He's not going 100% every play.
Yeah.
He's not. So it's kind of tough because I feel where he's coming from. Like, man, you know, I'm worth millions. But then at the same time, my play helps my team win. You know, we have a shot at an SEC championship. But if he doesn't play well, they're not going to win. And he's got to decide for himself. Nobody can make up his mind for him what he wants to do. honestly, if he sat the rest of the season, I think he'll drop in the draft, but I wouldn't have a problem with it. But if
I don't think he wants to do that, and I don't know why that perception is out there for him. People have made that up and just put it out there. Well, he needs to. Well, it's kind of like people are projecting their agenda onto him.
But no, 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 because last year his teammate Marcus Lattimore, first running back to be taken in the draft, two great seasons, freshman sophomore season, junior season. Horrific injury.
Yeah.
Horrific. I guarantee you that is what he's thinking. Because who wouldn't? He saw it first. Hey, he was on the field.
Yeah, he but saw what it first I'm saying hand, is, so. He's, okay, if we're supposed to go by what Spurrier actually said, then we need to go by what Clowney is saying, like, I want to play. I was hurt. I don't think he wants to sit out. And I think people saying, well, he should sit out, and I think that's what he wants to do, is people projecting their, well, players should get paid agenda onto him and using him as a lightning rod for their cause.
I think you're reaching on that one. I disagree with that. It is injury. And is he nicked up? Probably.
Yeah, I mean, he got the bone spurs in his foot.
Well, hey. I've had bone spurs in my foot. I just had surgery, so hey, I understand where you're coming from.
And then he had the strain. So I mean,
the
ribs.
You know, I get that. But on the next level, you have to know the difference between hurt and injured. And everybody in the league is hurt, and they are paying you millions. He's gonna have to play hurt.
I think he's been playing hurt up until this point.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens. I think and South Carolina's got a sneaky game Saturday, going on the road to Arkansas. Arkansas's gonna win. You heard it here first.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and get into the games of the week, and I'll let you lead off with those.
Yes.
So let's start off with some college games that people should tune into this Saturday.
Well, great slate of games Saturday. October always brings that. The more your team wins, the bigger the game is. You got number 25 Missouri, who I think is overrated.
Me going too. Why do they keep trying to believe in Missouri?
Well, this is the thing. They haven't played anybody. They put up impressive numbers, and their quarterback is finally healthy. He's back in the form he was 2 years ago. Going to a depleted Georgia team, I think Georgia will outclass them. It'll be a close game, but I think Georgia will get the victory. Then you got the Red River rivalry. I think this will be the swan song to Mac Brown.
Mm-hmm.
I think Oklahoma, in the words of my frat brother, going to run that dog up under Texas on national TV at noon on ABC for the world to see. Now, I don't think they're going to give him the Lane Kiffin treatment and fire him right away.
Oh, no, they're not
going
to do that.
But I do think that...
They're going to be like, Mac, you need to retire.
Yeah, yeah, I think he'll be gone. Because I just don't see Texas... And not that Oklahoma is a beast or anything. I just think Oklahoma's the better team. And I think they'll win that football game.
I think maybe Mac overstayed his welcome 2 to 3 seasons.
No, I don't think that, because you win a national championship. Hey, you know, you should be able to call your own shot. They've won Big 12 championships. It's just the type of kid they recruit. I think they're recruiting the I'm entitled to go to Texas, or, oh, I made it to Texas, and that's it, and they're not hungry anymore.
Well, that's 2 to 3 years ago that's manifesting itself
now.
No,
this has been a minute. This has been a minute. And now you just got all these kids that aren't
that good.
Basically, the talent level's not there. I don't think they're getting the coaching and development that he once had. But you, with success and you lose successful assistants, that does happen.
I was going to ask, so was that with losing the assistant that went to Florida State?
No. You mean they lost Muschamp.
Yeah.
They lost Muschamp, which... but the defense was, you know, they weren't great, but now, I mean, now they're horrible. So, I don't know. We'll see, but yeah, I definitely think Oklahoma is gonna really put it on Texas. But the game that I'm most interested in, my Gators are traveling to Baton Rouge. And gonna play LSU, and I think LSU is in for a rude awakening. And I understand that they're 27-1 in their last home games.
Are they playing at night?
No, okay. 3:30 game, CBS. I think Florida will be able to cover Beckham and company outside. They have not seen these first round picks we got out of the corner. We're gonna get pressure on Zach Mettenberger. He doesn't handle that well. We're going to create turnovers. If we stop the run early and make them throw, it's going to be a long game.
Well, I'll say this.
It's going to be a long game.
I would say that if you guys were going into this game with Jeff Driskel, I would pick LSU. But since you have Tyler Murphy, I think that Florida will win as well.
We had Jeff Driskel last year, and we beat him to sleep.
I just don't like Jeff Driskel, so.
We beat him to sleep. So I think if Tyler Murphy plays an even game, gets converts on third down, and we're able to establish the run and stop their run, we will win this game by 10 points. Now, switching over to the West Coast, very interesting game. Number 2 Oregon travels to Washington. Washington coming off of a heartbreaking loss, some say controversial, to Stanford. Yeah. We'll see what type of gut they got. Because if they get down early, Oregon is like a bully. If they sense that you are scared, they will pile on the points, and it can get out of hand quickly. I think Washington needs to be physical. And I don't know, they stood up to a physical Stanford team. Now, they got down early. They can't do that. If they start off slow like they did against Stanford, it's going to be a blowout. But they got to hang with them. The crowd needs to get behind them. A turnover early could help. So, we'll see. Texas A&M goes on the road to Ole Miss.
Yeah, that's going to be a really good game, I think.
Texas A&M should win. But if Ole Miss pulls the upset, I'm not going to be surprised.
Yeah. I think there's upset special potential there.
I tell you, I don't. My upset special is South Carolina going down to Arkansas. When Arkansas played Florida, Florida blew them out. But Arkansas is a physical team. They're a very physical team with physical wideouts. And I don't think South Carolina is that good at the corner to where they can play man coverage. I think they'll have to drop a safety back, which will give the advantage in the running game and that power running game of Arkansas. They're going to bloody South Carolina nose a little bit, and we'll see if they respond to that. Clowney needs to be big in this game. He needs to be big. So I don't think they're going to step up to the plate. I think with all the distractions going on this week, I think Arkansas, they're playing at home. They're going to establish the run, and it's going to be a tough game, man. And I'm picking Arkansas. So that's your Saturday slate. NFL, very, very good games. Green Bay goes to Baltimore. Must win for both teams. Always good to see Aaron Rodgers. That's a very good watch, entertaining. And Green Bay has a running game. Lacy had a very good game last week. Can they carry that on to a helter-skelter Baltimore team? You don't know what you're going to get. Flacco's got to step up big, but he is playing at home, so we'll see. We've already mentioned it, Washington travels to Dallas.
That
battle
should be
for first place.
That putrid NFC East.
But yeah, first game, first place on the line nonetheless. You know, big game. New Orleans goes to New England.
I think the Saints are going to whoop that ass on the Patriots.
You need to take your hatred for the Patriots out of it.
No, I do.
You need to take
it. Period.
Well, it'll be interesting to see. New Orleans defense is playing exceptionally well. And me personally,
And I think that's going to intimidate those receivers.
No. No, because they're playing at home. If it was in New Orleans, I'd go with you on that. But no, the biggest problem the Patriots have, and if Peyton Manning were not playing, who I would give the MVP to, because he adds a dimension to this offense that is unmatched, and that's Darren Sproles. He is playing lights out football. You can't put a linebacker on him. You can't put a safety on him. And he's running, he's catching, the return game, you know, just he's had two monster games this week and key third down conversions and catches all season. So that'll be interesting. But the Patriots coming off of their first loss of the season, you know Belichick's going to have them focused. They're in the friendly confines. It'll be a good game.
I'm still going with the Saints.
I don't know.
Still take the Saints.
And then to the Monday night game, big game, I think. You've got the Chargers coming off of a loss, but they always play well at home. And they're a very talented team. The Colts, young team, traveling. All things even. You look at it on paper, I still say it's a toss-up, strictly on the talent level. The Colts must pressure Rivers early because he will give you one or two. But if he doesn't and he gets comfortable, it could be a long night for that secondary. So those are your games. Oh, and last but definitely not least, our good friends in Vegas believe that the Broncos of Denver are 28 points better than the Jaguars of Jacksonville.
Well, I will say this, just to be fair, they did move it back down to 26.5.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
It did move down to 26.5. So,
that, I mean, for those of you that gamble, you know that's 27. That's insane. So you're basically saying, oh, they four touchdowns better than this team.
Yep, and they are.
So we got Ohio State playing FAMU on Sunday, basically.
Yeah.
This is what I think. This is what I think. Oh, you sneaky Vegas people. You're begging people to take the points. You're begging them.
I mean, I think they are that good of a team, but I wouldn't take the points. I think they'll win by 20.
The only reason why I would take the points is where the game is being played. The game is being played in Denver, that high altitude. It could get out of hand early with a hurry-up offense. So I could see it. I could see that. But where is your pride, Jacksonville? You should see that and be like, man, screw this. Hell, hit Peyton Manning late. Do something. But 27 points? Ah, that's a lot. So those are the games that I'll be interested in. We'll definitely be tweeting the games. So you can follow us on Twitter. At TAI, tall and short of it, podcast, whatever that is.
TASILP.
We'll be tweeting the games Saturday and Sunday.
See, it's not so easy when you have to say it.
Yeah, I know. it'll be interesting to see. I'm very excited about the games. I don't have to work this weekend, so I'll be all on it.
Yeah, our kids, we're going to have to figure out some outside time. We're gonna have to
hey, go play at the playground, you know.
Yeah, we're gonna have to figure out something. They're gonna need some sunshine because other than that, we really don't want to leave the house. So are there one other thing that I did want to talk about is the baseball playoff roundup. And I know that last week you made some predictions about your team, the Braves, and how they would just run through the Dodgers. And so I just wanted to know if you had had any updates on how that series turned out.
The Braves lost in the divisional series, three games to one. You know, they really got outpitched and out-hit. It is what it is. You know, we get ready for the hot stove season, in the off season. Maybe we can make some moves. We need to spend some money. I think we do need to add another bat to our lineup. But preferably, we need to get a legitimate leadoff hitter, someone that's going to get on base. We can make some steals, play some small ball. Hayward's not ready for that. Not that good, great of a contact hitter. Had some injuries to the pitching staff, but who doesn't? So just got outplayed. I'm still not a believer in the Dodgers, but I'd rather see them go than the Cardinals. I hate that team. I really do. So it'll be a good National League Championship Series. I really don't have a prediction because I really don't care at this point. it'll be entertaining, and I probably won't be watching it because if Joe Buck is doing it, I can't watch a game that he's commentating.
Well, you have to watch the Cowboys. And
he's the worst person ever. I don't know how he has a job. He brings nothing to the table. His voice is terrible. He's a hater. He's a media hype. That's why he does games, to bring up stories that don't matter and that aren't relevant to the ball game being played.
I agree.
He's horrible. Horrible. He needs to find something else to do.
So with him doing the if he's doing the baseball playoff, that means he won't have to cover your Cowboys?
Please, Jesus. Please.
from my lips to Jesus' ears.
Man. Because he's horrible. And it's just like, I feel so bad for Troy Aikman. I do. To have to endure it. Man, it's horrible. The guy is terrible. I mean, ugh. It's bad.
Yeah. He's an agenda guy. If he has an agenda or he has an issue with somebody, he can't overlook that. He's going to bring up.
You know who Joe Buck is? Joe Buck is that nerd in high school that wasn't athletic enough to play any sports but had an opinion about every high school sports team.
You're going David Price on?
That is who he is. That's exactly who he is. Look at him. Look at him.
Well, I just think, you know, his father had a lot of influence in that as well. Not the way he does it, but his choice of career.
No, Jack Buck is a legend.
No, I agree. I'm not saying that.
He was great issues to listen to, do baseball games, but he did not pass that gift on to his son. As much as he tries.
Well, he passed that name, and that matters a lot.
Well, I'm serious, you know, and that's another reason why I don't watch Fox, because Fox employs me, and it's just horrible. He's terrible, terrible.
Well, I think Sean's going to start the Get Rid of Jack Buck campaign. Just send your emails to
jackbuckisanidiot.com.
All right. So let's move on to random thoughts. And do you have any random thoughts this week, babe?
Okay. Marriage and sport are not that different. That's our motto, right?
Yes.
When you're married, you have to respect your spouse. And there has to be a level of respect and communication.
I agree.
I witnessed the most ridiculous, ratchet, whatever adjective you want to throw in today at my job. And without getting into specifics and details, when you are working with the public, it's just certain stuff you can't do. You can't do. You can't eat in front of them.
You can't eat in front of your customers?
No.
No?
No. You can't paint your nails. You can't do that.
You can't paint your nails while you have a customer in your office trying to conduct business?
No.
No?
No.
You sure?
I'm positive.
Wow. That is horrible.
That is the equivalent of if Erica wants to talk to me about something important, and I pull out my fingernail clipper and I start clipping my toenails. That is what that is like. Or that is just like, hey, Sean, I'm going to cook dinner. All right, I grab my keys, I go get some Popeyes, and I come back and I eat Popeyes while y'all eating what you cook. That is just, that is the equivalent of that. Yeah. So.
And I would be heated. Heated.
So.
If that happened.
Marriage and sports are not that different. Respect is the same across every plane. Show it, people. And just use some common sense. But that's all I got.
Yeah, when you were telling me about that, I just had this look of confusion because I was just confused as to how somebody could make it that far in their career with that type of conduct with a customer. That's just beyond comprehension. Yes, people, if you do work with the public, you have a professional role, a non-professional role, I would be pissed if somebody took my order at McDonald's and they were filing their fingernails. So it is not even about having a professional job. It's just working with the public, period. That's just crazy. My random thought is I need you to stop judging my nerdiness. Because I don't judge yours. So, what I am talking about, my fellow listeners, I love, I am an avid fan of The Walking Dead. I am obsessed with zombies. I am obsessed with vampires. I watch Walking Dead. I read the graphic novels. I used to be really in love with True Blood, but it pretty much sucks now. I just got to watch it till it ends. Anyway, so Sean always makes fun of me and my love for zombies. Side note, please do okay for Scandal. We got to record Scandal. This must happen. So anyway, and he always makes fun of my nerdiness for zombies and vampires. Now, being that Sean was, a college athlete, he played various sports in high school, you would think that he may not be a nerd himself, but he is. Mr. Nelson here is a Star Wars fanatic. Yes, he is a Star Wars fanatic. Sean is a Star Wars fanatic to the point that when we lived in Orlando, he tricked me and surprised the family with a trip to Disney Animal Kingdom. But he didn't tell me about it. You know what he told me to get me up that morning? Is that a coworker that likes Star Wars as well, they were going down to the convention center to a Star Wars convention, and that we all were going, and that was our big surprise. Yes. And I was so upset because he was just like, well, you can dress like Princess Leia. No. Anyway, so that's how big of a fan he is. And I don't judge him. I indulge him. I have bought him lightsabers. I have bought him books. I tell him about stuff. I don't judge his nerdiness.
You even bought me tickets to go see it in Symphony.
I sure did.
Yeah.
I sure did. See, I indulge his nerdiness, and he judges mine. You have to stop judging my nerdiness.
Okay, so let's put the facts on the table, all right? Yes. The Star Wars saga is the greatest series of movies in cinema, hands down. It is. Can't wait till episode 7 comes out. But nerdiness and vampires, okay? So let's let the people truly know. And hey, depending on how you feel about what I'm about to say, hey, you can tweet me at AceofDiamonds99, or you can tweet our podcast, or you can tweet her at Super Sports Girl. But hey, you know, I indulge my wife too. Did we not go see I Am Legend? Oh, silence on. Well, yes, we did.
You didn't know I Am Legend
was
about.
Hold on. Hold on.
You didn't know that's what it was about.
These are, yeah, you know, I'm a very simple man. These are yes or no questions.
It's not a yes or no question.
Did we not go see I Am Legend?
Yes, we did.
Were you scared?
No.
Were you scared? Was your head so into my shoulders? Okay. All right, people, you draw your own conclusion. Next movie, World War Z. Did we go see that?
Yes.
Were you scared?
No.
You were, Eric.
Was I scared?
Yes. Movie? Jumping and carrying on. Again, grabbing my arm. I'm so glad I do arm curls. Digging your head into my shoulder.
No, I did not dig my head into your
shoulder. Jesus Christ.
But you make fun of me.
Man, you make fun of people that are scared about movies that ain't real. It's not gonna, there are no such things as zombies. There's no such things as vampires.
There's no such thing as the Force.
Hey. A long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. But what I'm telling you is, look, I ain't got a problem with it. I just think it's so ridiculous that on Sunday nights, the world has to stop because The Walking Dead is on. And this is what she does, which is irritates me to no end. She will watch it at 9 or 10 o'clock whenever it comes on Sunday. So, you know, which hurts football watching. Then she'll watch it again, watch the freaking talk show, tape it, and watch it again Monday morning. And, you know, it's just, it's crazy. It's crazy. And I'm just like, so at what point are these people gonna find something with these zombies? As humans, are we not smarter than this? So anyway, you know,
that's why you have to watch it so you can,
man, it's dumb.
I will say
it's
this.
Dumb.
It's not dumb.
It's dumb. That will never happen ever.
You don't know that.
It's dumb. It's dumb.
So, okay. So everybody out there, let's just go ahead and make it clear who's going to be the brains of the operation when the zombie apocalypse happens. We see that now, right? Okay. So,
you know what the world is saying? You know what? Sean is right.
No, they're not.
How do you claim this nerdiness and you're scared of the movies?
I'm not scared of the movie. I just, you know, I kind of jump when it's suspenseful. That's all. I'm not scared. I just, you know, the suspense, it just kind of gets to me a little bit and then I'm fine.
No.
I'm fine.
No.
Okay. Well, we'll just, you know, save this because obviously this is not over. So we'll have to address this again at some point. But we are going to go ahead and shut it down because A, it's the second half of the football game and Scandal is on, which are two very important things going on in my TV life. So, again, this is episode Tall and Short of It Podcast. Check us out, tallandshortofitpodcast.com. And, again, you can find us on Stitcher, Podomatic, and iTunes. And please feel free to leave us any feedback. Make sure you do follow us, our podcast account, at TASOIP. We live tweet games all weekend, so check us out. And you guys have a great night. Bye, babe.
Bye.